Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 Woo! The Game.
Our next guest hit a milestone on Saturday. Career head coaching win number one for Trent Bray, Oregon State, beating Idaho State at home, Research Stadium. Beavers look to me like they just decided in about the second quarter that they wanted to impose their will. They ran the football over the stadium. Then after the game, Trent Bray got tossed in what is technically known as the cryo pool at Oregon State. It's a cold pool. That pool has a great backstory. It was installed by a company in Wilsonville known as Anderson Pool Works. Dana and Brody Anderson run that company. I talked to Dana over the weekend. I said, did you see they threw Bray into your pool? And the story goes that as Oregon State was building that locker room, upgrading that locker room, they wanted to put a cryo pool or recovery pool into the locker room. Anderson Pool Works, their big Oregon State fans, ended up kind of trading out the project so they could, put that pool into the locker room. And Dana and Brody end up trading out like tickets and a sponsorship they probably didn't need because they love Oregon State so much. I don't know if Trent Bray knew that when he was getting tossed in there, but he's joining us now. What was that plunge like for you?
Luckily it was so hot out, it actually felt good, but it was fun.
That's kind of cool. It was kind of cool to see the scene in the locker room. And, most people in their jobs don't get a moment like that where you get a win, everything you've been working for all spring and summer comes together. And, there's just kind of a nice moment where, the kids on the team are tossing you into the pool, something that wouldn't happen on like a Wednesday in the middle of summer. What was that like for you to be in that locker room scene?
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. One, just to the win, celebrate with the team. And then, that's my second time in there. Last time was last year against Utah when we beat them, and it was my birthday. So I've been in there once before.
I love that. Is it really cold? Because, most of us don't have a recovery pool. Like, what is that like when you're in there? What are we talking about temperature-wise?
Oh, gosh. I don't know the exact temperature, but it takes your breath away when you plunge in.
Do you make your guys do it? Like, are they in there after games or on a Tuesday? Are they going and having to walk through there, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's right there. They use the cold tubs every day after practice, and there's a hot tub right next to it, the contrast, so they use that for recovery.
What's better? Help us out. Help for the weekend warriors out there who are after a big workout or a big game. What are we supposed to be doing?
The contrast between like 5 minutes in cold, 5 minutes in hot, and back and forth is actually probably the best.
Every little kid in America is doing that, running between the hot tub and the pool. Who knew? Yeah. Trent Bray is with us. Look, you guys, at the beginning of the game, obviously it's week one. First quarter is probably not ideal how you dreamed it up in your mind, but how were you feeling at the end of the first quarter, and what kind of chatter is going on in your headset as you guys enter that second quarter on Saturday?
Yeah, I felt fine. We had some miscues. We drive it all the way down the first drive and then fumble in the red zone. We get back up, go three and out, and then snap it out of the end zone, and then we give them a good field position and they score the next drive. But I felt good about the way the defense was playing. I knew what we were capable of. And, in first games and in games like that, sometimes it takes a little bit to get going.
Comfort-wise, you had talked about rehearsing some of the situations and, kind of going through it or treating scrimmages like a live game or, whatnot. But there's no real substitute for a real game. Or how long did it take you maybe to get comfortable? Did the game feel long? Did the game feel fast? Take us through kind of what it was like for you.
The game felt long, and especially the first half took forever in my mind. But it was great, especially the 4 minute situation at the end of halftime. The way the offense operated, went down the field and scored and left very little time for them to operate. I thought that was well done by Coach Gunderson and just knowing exactly what we needed to do.
I thought Ryan Gunderson called a great game, and, some of it was, I could see at the end of the first quarter, I think the rushing total was something like 81 to 27 or something like that, 81-30. And I thought, gosh, if Oregon State wants to, they can just probably run the ball. You guys really committed to that throughout the rest of the game. I thought your backs looked great, you know, but can you maybe speak about the decision to go to the ground and, you know, if something's working, staying with it?
Yeah, going in, it was something we wanted to do. It's an identity piece for us. It's something we felt we were really good at, I think, up front, tight ends-wise. And then we got three really good backs that can run the football. So that was going in the game. We wanted to run the ball and run it well. And then as the game was going, you know, that was kind of how it was going. We were running the ball well, and we were being physical and moving the line of scrimmage. And, hey, let's just keep imposing our will, like you said, and that's what they did.
If I'm San Diego State, I am going to load it up at the line of scrimmage. I'm going to try to take away what you've done in week one, and I'm going to make Giovanni McCoy beat me. How do you approach that self-scout when you look at that? Because you're a defensive guy. You know what you would try to do to your offense in week two.
Can you say that again? You're cutting out.
You know, how do you self-scout? And, you know, if I'm San Diego State, I'm probably loading the box and making your quarterback beat me down the field. You know, although he did throw, you know, one great pass on that touchdown pass. But, you know, how do you approach that self-scout piece in as your game plan for week two?
I think we're going to have to do more, you know, in the passing game and be more balanced than we were a week ago. I think the run game sets up everything for us just philosophy-wise. But that's what we got to be able to do this week for sure.
Trent Bray with us, Oregon State football coach. Travel schedule, there's logistics that go with this. You know, when do you guys leave? When do you go down to San Diego and get settled in? Or are you a guy who likes to arrive late? You like to arrive early? Do you even know now, as this being your first road game as a head coach?
No, we'll do everything as far as practice and meetings on Friday here. We'll take off in the early afternoon and get there in time for dinner and then give them a little bit of time to relax, and then we'll have meetings at night, go to bed, and get ready to roll in the morning.
Did you sleep well before the Idaho State game?
You know, I did. I kind of someone asked me that question before, and you know, I've never been a guy that's gotten nervous before games. I'm more just anxious, and I do so much preparing and drive myself crazy during the week that by the time it's time for game time, I'm just ready to go.
Yeah. It's probably almost a relief, right? I mean, you can only pour over it so many times during the week before it actually needs to happen on the field for you. Were you okay? You know, because normally I watch you during games and you're pacing around, you're calling the defense, and then, you know, there's a break because, you know, you're the defensive coordinator. You're talking with your guys on the sideline, you know, as you were last year. But this year now, how was that? How did you manage that? And how did, you know, maybe that's what made the game feel long for you.
Yeah, it was. I was never off. Absolutely. Just went straight from defense to now communicating with the offense and staying locked into what's going on there. And so, yeah, that's probably made it feel long that there was no off time or downtime. Yep.
Can you get an idea of what Sean Lewis and what San Diego State want to do on offense based on week one? Or do you go back and look at, you know, what did he do last year at Colorado? What has he done historically? You know, how in the weeds can you get?
Yeah, you look at what they did in week one, and then you go back with he had a ton of success at Kent State. You go back and look at what he did there, and you take what he did at Colorado as well. Now, that was a little bit different circumstance personnel-wise, but you kind of use all three of those tenures that he's had and go from there.
Trent Bray is with us. All right, team meals. Give me an idea. When you go on the road, I mean, you probably haven't done this as a head coach, but will you guys eat together? Will there be a big team dinner? Will you break into position groups? Will you break into offense, defense? How are you guys dining?
Up until the pregame meal, it's all very casual. It's kind of come when you're ready. There's a window where the dinner place or breakfast place will be open. But the pregame meal is the, hey, we're all together. We're all locked in. We're all getting focused, ready to go.
I don't think most people understand kind of there's a director of football operations that's working behind the scenes to help you with travel. And, you know, can you maybe speak to a little bit of what goes into that job and how that helps a head coach?
Oh, it's the biggest help there is. I mean, all the hard stuff's done by him. He handles all the logistics and where we're going, the times, make sure everything's set up, ready to go, deals with the plane. I mean, that's probably the hardest job in football.
A little bit of air traffic controller, a little bit of wedding planner in that job. And I can remember some of the guys in the past during COVID were, you know, some of the restrictions on hotels had to have certain ventilation systems. And, you know, I got pretty complicated. We're talking to Trent Bray. What do you see on film when you look at San Diego State?
I think they're a tough physical team. They still have that identity that they've always had, which is they're physical. They fly around. They're going to be great on special teams. They're going to be tough on defense, and they got good skill on offense. So they're a good team, and we got to show up and be at our best.
The defensive play, you know, we talked about linebackers and the run game kind of being your strength. How did you feel the secondary played against Idaho State?
I think they played pretty well, especially that offense is built to throw and has put up a lot of numbers. Even last year, you know, they were near the top or at the top of the Big Sky Conference, which is probably the best at that level. They've got some talented players in the skill positions, Idaho State, and they do a great job in their system. And I thought our DBs handled it well and did a good job. Things to clean up, no question, but for the most part, I thought they were where we needed them to be.
And your offense just kept them off the field. I think they only ran like 60-something plays, and you guys were in the 80s, which is just a huge advantage to have your offense on the field so much. Your president at Oregon State, I happen to be standing with her, there's about 2 minutes to go in the game, and she says, I've got to go to the field because I want to make sure that I congratulate Trent Bray on his first win. What does that mean to you when the university president is trying to hustle down to the field because she wants to give you a high five?
Yeah, she's been great ever since I took over, and she's very supportive of us and what we're doing, the team, the players. She's been at practice and talked to the team. So she's just been great to work with, and just very happy we have her support.
Trent Bray, good luck to you. I will see you at Snapdragon Stadium in San Diego. I appreciate you coming on with us every week.
No problem.
All right. There he is, Oregon State's coach. He got dunked in the cryo pool after Oregon State's win on Saturday. Showed up to the postgame news conference sopping wet, sunglasses on top of his head, had a towel over his shoulder. And, you know, I saw Trent Bray smile, which is good to see. Oregon State, San Diego State, Saturday night. Oregon, Boise State, Saturday night. I noticed in the college football schedule for the week, the West Coast teams are all playing in late windows. It's all kinds of late West Coast games. Really interesting to see kind of, you know, everybody was complaining about the 7 o'clock, 7:30 kickoffs. Everybody was complaining about distribution on TV. Everybody was complaining about officiating in the Pac-12. Guess what? You got officiating controversy in the Washington game. You got blackouts in the Big Ten Network. And you got everybody kicking off at 7 or 7:30 in the Pacific time zone. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth.